It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live at 9.04 a.m. Mountain Time, 8.04 a.m. Pacific. I still hear music. It's going to – these beginnings are going to take a little bit of time because I only do them I only do them once in a while, once a week. So give me a break here, and thanks for your support. I love you guys. It's March 3rd. It's Monday. I also have the Facebook thing going, so I'm going to be going back and forth between our Facebook chats and our live streaming on YouTube. So if you're in the Facebook room, I'm going to hit refresh on that, and we'll check you guys out. And say hi, see if we got anybody happening in there. And then we'll get this down. I appreciate your support. Good morning, truly. Happy to be tuning in. Your show is always so informative and engaging. Oh, I hope so. Thank you. Thank you for the effort you put into making it happen. I'm excited to hear what you share with us today. Thanks, truly. Hi, Lynn. Thanks for being here. Okay, you guys, I'm also going to check the streaming room. And that one is a little more fragile for me. Hi, Mary Jean, and Penny's in the house. I see Life Journey. Good morning. Man, I'm so glad you liked the setup. That's so helpful. All right. So I do have a lot to talk about today, and I'm going to get my screens together so that you guys can join me. I'm going to switch these here. See my special effects. And I'm bringing this to the forefront, which is the chart for today. Actually, what you're looking at is not the chart for today. It's a chart that will be coming up, and I have to talk to you about May 5th. So let's do the current transits. Let's get those back. Here they are. And so the moon's in Taurus. I hope you're having a good Taurus moon day, eating lots of good food, taking care of your securities. The shirt I'm wearing is a Rest in Peace Pluto shirt. It's sort of like a cute little commemorative of Pluto when they did declassified it from being a planet, which is, you know, kind of hysterical. Doesn't affect astrology at all. I know people wanted it to. And good morning, Gypsy. You all keep coming in. We'll figure this YouTube thing out fully and all the way. But in the meantime, if you go to YouTube, and there's a bunch of links I've been putting around, so they're in the email. You can click it. You can also, if you find Mark Husson's Astrology Hour, look for the where it says the video section at the top. Look for the word live. You should see me streaming live there. Then it'll be available after that on the On Demand on 1-2 Radio, which we will then put it we'll have a link to this live stream, so you can actually watch it live if you want. I don't know why anyone would want to look at me, but I'm not looking there for compliments. I'm like, I look at myself and go, oh my God. But here's the thing. Let's talk a little bit about this cycle that we're in, because it's a big one. And I think it also has a lot to say about what some of you are feeling. All right. So now I've got this big chart on the screen, and I sent it to those of you that aren't being able to do the live stream. So if you're not on the mailing list, would you please go over to 12house.com and get on that mailing list? It means the world to me. Subscribe, friends, do whatever you can. But that's how we get a measure of how we're doing. So I want you to take a look at a couple of things, though. There in the sky, and I can verbally explain it to the people that are just listening, so don't be afraid. There right now are 1, 2, 3 planets in Pisces, and there's a north node in Pisces. Now, the north node is a mathematical point where the moon crosses the orbit of the Earth, and it has an exact opposite called a south node. The north node looks like a horseshoe turned upside down, like the letter N, a little letter N, and the upside down horseshoe is a letter U, so upside down U, right? So the south node, the upside down U, is kind of like what we're trying to get away from. It's like old habits and skills that we're trying to get, like things that we came in with in your personal natal chart, your south node is sort of your skills that you're really good at. You needed them to survive your childhood, number one. But they become useless over time. And we want to move them into the north node, which is a time of growth and a thing that sort of like helps you overcome sort of life's obstacles, so to speak. And not even just so to speak, life obstacles. They give you the skills necessary to do that. Those just changed recently, and they changed for like a year and a half, 18 months. And the change came, the south node now is in Virgo, the north node in Pisces, and it's basically telling us something about this next 18-month cycle, okay? Because they came from the Aquarius-Leo cycle. So sorry for the barking, I got to yell at him. Someday I'm going to have the freedom to move and go pick him up and let him say hi to everybody here. So in that cycle, what we're doing is we're moving from this Virgo energy, okay? And what's the Virgo energy? Let's really try to understand that for the cycle that we're in astrologically. Virgo energy is energy that looks at the details of everything. Now, I had this hit that Virgo South Node energy was we're believing everything we hear. We're getting information and we're just believing it. We're just like, oh yeah, how could that not be true? And da da da. And we're sort of turning into this, we're being offended really easily. And we're not putting up with things really easily. Okay, that's the South Node. And that's sort of the message of the South Node, remember, is okay, that's what we're good at, not necessarily where we need to go. Where we need to move is in the Piscean realm of the North Node. And we get 18 months to practice this. And let me tell you, you can go against it if you want and just kind of see where that gets you. But to go in the forward motion of this is to go into compassion, the overview, seeing that there's a forest, not just collective trees and not just individual species, but a group together, a collective. And that there are, in other words, there's a bigger picture. Pisces has always been about the bigger picture. And I know over the past political events, I've gotten so many letters and emails from people freaking the hell out. Like, it's going to be a war. That's Virgo. Okay? That's the hysteria, hair on fire, negative part of Virgo. And when you're in the South Node, that's what you get to experience. And you can do that for a while, but it is not going to help you. Okay. That's not going to be the thing that brings you into your sense of well-being. I promise. Now, I want you to keep that in mind because there's other things going on and I want to talk to you about each of those things. Hi, Carla. Thank you. And good. I'm glad you found us. Hi, Hippie Kitsch. I just see Kitsch. So it might be Hippie Kitchen. Hi. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. You guys, thank you so much. I'm just checking your questions and comments, seeing if you're okay. So this is a representation of the, first of all, the cycle we're in. If you're noticing a fear, if you're noticing that you're being like, there's a nervousness about what's going on or you're kind of getting scared, I understand. I want you to just understand that that's something that's happening in this cycle that is just going to stay with us for a minute. Okay. What I have on the screen are also some notes that I wanted to talk to you about. And I'm trying to get them off so they don't stay in the way. But the other thing that's happening in the sky right now is Venus is retrograde. And I know the word retrograde in any kind of planet sends people into sort of orbit and fear and hysteria too. South Node in Virgo, I'm going to remind you guys, if you get into a place where you're starting to do that kind of hysteria, it's South Node in Pisces. And it's not as South Node in Virgo, and it's not going to be helpful to you. Okay, that's just the way it is. So stay with me on this, and we're gonna see why you really don't have to be hysterical and why you really don't have to worry. Okay, I promise. Now, if you look at if you kind of fall with me, the Venus retrograde, Venus went retrograde last week. It's at 10 degrees of Aries now, and it's going to continue to go retrograde. I want you to understand this concept. Venus, first of all, is a planet that is the third out from the sun. So there's the sun, Venus, Mercury. It's Hippie Kitchen, which is me, Audra. Thank you. I'm so glad that it's okay to it's okay to see me while we're doing this. I know I have to pretend I'm not on the air, but I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. I do so appreciate you, and I think we're going to turn this into something. Eventually, it's going to be even easier. There's a lot going on, but we're nailing it, and like you have to start somewhere, right? With a crawl, and then we start walking, and then we're running. Okay. I want you to understand this. When you have a birth chart, you take your first breath and we run your chart, there's some rules that absolutely will be adhered to. One, you'll have a sun sign. Sure, the sun will be in a particular sign, so that's your sign. Mercury will never be more than one sign away from that sign, ever. And let's look at an example here. Where's Mercury now? Mercury's in Aries. The sun is in Pisces. Okay, that's one sign away. It'll never be more than that. In a very rare instance, if you do it mathematically, it'll never be more than 30 degrees away from the sun. But sometimes that could be a 29 degree of two signs away, which is still within 30 degrees. So just technically, as a rule of thumb, never more than a sign away. So if somebody says, hey, I'm a Pisces and my Mercury's in Virgo, the exact opposite sign, 180 degrees away, you can go, oh, that's nice, and pat them on the head and walk away knowing that they don't know crap about their chart, right? and not as an insulting way. Nobody needs to understand their chart. I mean, I am never condescending to people who talk like they know their chart. You like my hat? It says bread. And I take all the metaphorical meanings in all ways and accept them. Second rule, Venus will never be more than two signs away from your sun. Okay, so Venus is never more. So if you have a sun in Pisces, Venus has to be in Aries, Pisces, or Taurus. Okay, it can't be more than two away though. Okay, and works in backwards too. If you're a Pisces, it has to be in Aquarius or Capricorn or Pisces. Okay, that's always true. So your Venus will be close to your sun sign, maybe two signs away at the most, but that's it. The reason that's important is because what's happening now is Venus is retrograding, okay? And what astrologers look for, or astrologers who have studied this for a while, they look for things like, it's not the fact that Venus went retrograde when Venus goes retrograde. It's the most important thing that happens here is where is the degree, because when Venus goes retrograde, it is going to, at some moment in that retrograde, come in contact with the sun. So I can move this chart forward by weeks and demonstrate a little bit about how moving forward, Venus is going to, here's Venus here, I'm helping you keep an eye on it. It's at 5 Aries now. The sun is at, let's see, 4 Aries now. Okay, good. So we got to go back a day. We're going to try to get these two to connect. There's Venus is at 2 Aries. The sun's at 3. There it is. The conjunction of Venus and the sun at the same degree is at 2 degrees of Aries. Okay, let me yell at him again. He's so sweet. Got it. God bless that dog. Both of them. But I do have to yell when they're barking because they just get such joy out of barking at anything. And right now it's a big turkey. And eventually I'm going to have a camera set up so I can show you the outside here. We're going to get it all set up, I promise. Okay, right now it's all about me just being comfortable being on camera and concentrating when I'm talking to you. Here we have on March 22nd, Venus at 2 degrees of Aries and the sun at 2 degrees of Aries. That 2 degrees of Aries, so important, okay? Because now we have to go back in time, okay? I have to go back in time. I'm coming back to March 3rd, but now I got to go to February 7th because what I want to know is when was Venus at 2 degrees in the past. Now, you all don't have to follow this. I'll do it for you. I just wanted to be a little technical to help you understand it for those of you that like to know, like what, like that can put it together. Okay, let me yell one more time. So Venus here on the 7th of February was at 2 degrees of Aries. Now, if we were on the ball, and I missed it to tell you on the day of February 7th, that Venus is going to be conjuncting the sun at this degree, at this point on March 22nd, because though that is what is going to be encapsulated in what they call, that is the inferior conjunction. This is the darker side of Venus. This is the old stuff that we're working out. And you're working it out. And guess what? March 22nd in resolution. All this stuff that you're struggling with, a lot of you might be saying, see, we don't care about the fact that it's retrograde. Don't care about that. Not at all. What we're getting out of this Venus is the degrees, the numbers that tell us the timing of our life and what's going on. It's a reflection of the stuff you're struggling through. And I know some of you are really struggling. Some of you are doing fabulous. It's fine. It's a good cycle. But some of you have been struggling with so much fear about a lot of you, wherever you put your attention, your relationships, geopolitical stuff, whatever it is, it's like your work, wherever Venus rules for you. And Venus rules the house of Taurus, it rules the house of Libra, and it rules wherever Aries is. So all those issues are up. And technically, they started February 7th. And I know. I don't know, like, the classic phrase, I don't know what I ate for breakfast today, much less what happened on February 7th, because I don't keep a journal. But I could go back and figure it out. There'd be an appointment, there'd be something, there'd be some kind of show I could listen to my show. Thank goodness I have a weekly show. I can listen to that stuff to tell what was up and coming. You guys can do the same thing. But that was February 7th. That's the first day that we saw Venus at 2 degrees of Aries. The second day we're going to see Venus at 2 degrees of Aries is March 22nd. And the third time we see Venus at 2 degrees of Aries is May 5th. May 5th. And talk about a brand new beginning. Talk about finally getting it. Talk about being able to move ahead. So give up this idea that the retrograde and during this period, you know, whatever the nagging voices are, they drive me crazy now because I've heard them for 40 years. I mean, it's like, oh my God, the fear and like the new batch of astrologers that are now afraid and watch your hair and what happens to your beauty and sense of, and I get all that. All that may be possible because who doesn't have a bad hair day? I mean, seriously. These are the dates and this is the cycle that I want you to pay attention to. Now, let's talk a little bit about what else is happening, because as Venus is sort of dominating the sky, it's also going to be the beautiful bright star, because this inferior conjunction is when Venus is the closest to the Earth. So we're going to have some really good things there. Let me see how y'all are doing. Quelly's in the house. Hey, Quelly. Inga, thank you for being here. It's so exciting having you all here. So sweet, and so sweet that you're participating in the chat. Thank you for doing that. Tell a friend. Let's get the subscription thing going if y'all are into it and you think this will be something that people would enjoy. This is all about survival. On one level, this is about survival. I never worry about survival, knockwood. But it's like we're trying to get into this era of it's hard to beat the kind of marketing that comes from viral marketing, that comes from people saying, hey, this is kind of a cool show. Let's go check them out. So hopefully I can pull that off for you in the way that there's interesting content and that we keep the love and the support and all that stuff going. Now, later this afternoon, we have Kat right after me, right? Kathleen Nicholson. For her, and you know, she's going to be doing this soon, I promise you. Not because I'm making her, honestly. I couldn't make Kat do anything that she didn't want to do. But I think it's because in her heart, she knows the momentum that she wants to be a part of, and that Aries moon in her really grabs at that. After her is Lori Love, and then we have Serena's show, and then after Serena's show, we have a very special show with Catherine Nasdaq, who is an advisor at One to Listen, and her special guest, Isabel Marr. And I put a link for it in my email. Amazing woman. It's going to be an amazing honor to have her here. I hope you guys will tune in. And guess what? They're doing a, I don't know if they're live streaming it, but if they are, it'll be super fantastic. If not, the new audio that Serena's invested her time and energy in is extraordinary. So we're beefing things up quite a bit. I think it's just going to be part of this nice evolution that we're figuring out thanks to Venus going retrograde. Now, so Venus is the brightest star in the sky these days. It's also in Aries. It does go back to Pisces, but that's not what we're worried about. We're really concerned about this number 2 degrees. So what I did is I went and looked up the Sabian symbol, which is a Dane Rudyard put together. He channeled what every degree of the zodiac meant for every single sign. And it's like the I Ching. If you're a fan of the I Ching like I am, the metaphors that come through, the forced meditation that happens to you when you have to sort of take an image and let it sink in, though that is a very powerful part of the I Ching. I love it so much that sometimes I avoid using it because I never want it to be old or destroy me. I do that with a lot of things. Here's what it says, wakening to a higher power. Now, the imagery is this from Rudyard is the cameo profile of a man suggesting the shape of his country. I mean, think about that. The cameo profile. How do you even come up with words like that? It's like, it's just so good. The cameo profile. So you see I picture one of those cameo necklaces, right? But you see this image of a shadow of an outline of a face. And you actually can imagine that that person sees their country in it. Because, you know, jagged lines and all that on a map. So what I think it's talking about, now I'll read you what this says. Wakening to a higher level, the awesome power of life itself as we identify the most spiritual dimension of being. Seeing oneself in the context of being with others. The sense of being a part of the whole brings meaning and allows higher powers to act through us. It extends beyond our local community and embraces universal realities. We are a part of it all, and this knowledge gives us both security and power. I'm sorry for the way I'm putting in these pauses, but it's a really tiny print. We can even touch the level of archetype and so awaken to that higher degree. This is like so telling that this Venus at 2 degrees, so I look up 3 degrees on the Sabian symbol, and that's what you get. It's a sense of us realizing that we're all connected, that we're all one, this sort of humanity, right? This sort of sense of humanity. The dividing lines of the civil war kind of energy that was building, this is saying the opposite. Like it's asking us to remember our connection to the broader whole. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a voice. And we have become so used to hating that voice if it's different than ours, if it sees something different than ours. Do you know how dismissive that South Node in Virgo is? Do you know how many people have like written me seriously, angrily, because I'm not taking a hardcore stand in one direction or the other? Because in this climate, if you don't take a stand, you're the enemy for a lot of people. It's not one for me. Used to be. It did used to be. I was really this person, the South Node in Virgo. I have Jupiter in Virgo. You don't think I have an instant judgment on what happens to people? You don't think I have an instant sense? Like, I'm ready to cut off and leave. I don't care. No love lost. And I get that energy. I have Jupiter in Virgo next to Pluto. I get that energy really hardcore. Don't like what you have to say. I'm out. Later. Who does that do anything for except your sense of personal empowerment? Like, good, you got to say, ooh, I'm never going to speak to you again. I get it. I do get it. But I also get we can't be the very people proselytizing this idea that we're all connected. We all come from the same source of love. and carry such willful disdain. And it's willful, a lot of it. A lot of it's earned. I mean, it's okay to not like people, trust me. I mean, it's not up to me to give you permission for that, but it is okay to disagree with somebody's position. But take a minute to think about the possibility of where that position was born from. Are people being misled? Are they just drinking some kind of silly Kool-Aid? Are they just validating the confirmation bias? They already believe this to be true, so only listening to things that come in and validate that truth. Well, I opted in my personal development with this Piscean energy for a sense of inner peace. I have never, ever expected myself to be so calm during turbulent times. But I made a commitment, and I've talked to you about this. I'm not going to do what I did before. I'm not going to let people who will never meet me, who will never know me, dictate the level of my frustration, my pain, my hope, my optimism. I'm not going to do it. And you can say, well, bury your head in the sand, that's fine. Well, I say, keep yours up in one direction. Let the wind smack you around, do whatever you want to do, and believe that you're doing your thing to make a difference. I think I'm becoming the change I want to see. That's all. And I'm not saying it's better, but I'm saying before you turn off the show and before you decide what you think I am and what I'm doing, take a minute. And see if you're not doing the South Node in Virgo thing, because that will not work over time. Sure, it'll get you to stop the noise that's coming from this microphone and others, maybe. But it won't stop the noise that's living inside of you that's directing this. And we all have a chance, okay? We all have a chance to choose differently how we're doing this. You can live in fear. You can choose to keep feeding that narrative to yourself. Or you can reframe it. And I think this stuff in Pisces is one of the secrets to doing that. Okay? So let's take a look again. I'm going to move this to the current transits, checking on you guys. Carrie, thank you. She's been following since Hay House. I had hair then. Dang, girl. Thank you so much. I mean that. You made it into the chat and on a bad hair day. Right on, girl. I love it. Yeah. My bad hair day. I forgot. I was going to wear the hat, take it off. I was like, do I wear it? Do I not? And then I put the headphones on. I'm like, I'm stuck with the hat, but there's no hair under here. So thank you again for finding your way here, you guys. And please, if you're enjoying it, let people know about it. It helps us a lot. Okay, let's see. I have a feeling I'm getting a, yeah, I know, girl. Thank you. I had a talk about reframing with a friend, and there it is. I said it, I brought it up, and it was a great suggestion to talk about reframing and how we do it. Okay, so let's get this. Okay, now we got the current chances. And remember, today, look at that right now, Uranus. Right here is on the ascendant, exactly. But that's transiting, but it's on the horizon right now for most of us, okay? For wherever you are, that's probably going to be true. And so things are changing really fast. It'll be interesting to see if that affects the news cycle or what goes on. But this is the chart for today. Now, you got to take this chart right here, and you got to bring this into your personal chart, because this North Node energy here, this North Node in Pisces is going to be with us for 18 months. This Venus energy here, we know until May 5th, Venus will be at that 2-degree point. So we have some time to play with this Venusian thing. Very important that we do. Do you see Mars down here at 17 Cancer? Let's talk about this for a minute. If you're a Capricorn, if you're a Libra, or if you're an Aries or a Cancer, I would have to say you're probably losing your stuff every now and then a little more frequently than you normally do. Okay, if you have Capricorn moon, Libra sun, Capricorn sun, Aries moon, Aries sun, Aries rising, Capricorn rising, Libra rising, and any of those placements in Cancer, Mars is tickling that area. And it's probably pissing you off if it's not doing anything. I swear to goodness, my tolerance level is just about the size of a thread, a sewing needle thread. Because there's a part of me going, I've heard all this before. I don't care about this argument here. I mean, it's like some of the stuff that I used to find funny, I don't anymore. Or it's just weird and it's fun. But a lot of that irritation is because I haven't taken the leap into the next phase of things yet. I'm not like, I can feel my own resistance. And you know how I know I have resistance? I go back to some old eating habits. I go back to distractions that are like, oh, why am I doing this? It's so fun, but I shouldn't be doing this. That kind of thing. I'm not taking a minute and moving into the next phase of things. But guess what? I have an excuse. It's a Venus retrograde. That's what I'm going to use the Venus retrograde for. I'm going to use it for a chance to say, this is my last hurrah in finding out the things that are working for me and the things that aren't working for me. Wonder if you guys are doing the same thing. Are you thinking about like, do you go through, oh my God, this is sheer avoidance. And how many of you, and this is the other topic. Not only is Mars making our patience a little raw, okay, and sort of like wishing things might be different, it's giving us a lot of force of will, okay? And that will can be pretty powerful, and it can also be a little, that will can be a little like that thing where you go, I don't need you, I'm walking away, I'm turning this off, like that, like you get all the power, so you abuse it. Like, okay, I'm shutting this down. And that's fine. You can do that. But how you're using that will could also be that you're going to change things the way you want to change them. You're going to make some changes in your life that you've been wanting to make, but you haven't been able to. Maybe it's been an old relationship that just is nagging you and that keeps bringing up hurt feelings. One of the conversations I had with my friend was, how do you overcome deep emotional scar tissue? Like, let me give you an example. When I first started with Hay House, I had met a person on the internet that was enamored of what I did and very encouraging and very sweet. And we developed a friendship. You all might remember Astrology for Life. We created Astrology for Life. And long story short, I felt never more betrayed in my entire life by any single person, right? But the anger was so convoluted. It was a mix of like, how could you, the other person, do this? But the other side of it, I knew deep down, was my own laziness, my own willingness to collaborate and keep going down a dark hole that was just, and it wasn't anything morbid or silly. I don't want you to fill in the blanks. I just don't want to talk about it too much just because it's like old hashing stuff. My point was, I think she betrayed me in a big, really big way. Took away a lot of my dreams, it seemed like at the moment. And I never met her. It was always long distance. It was just all built on promises and encouragement and da-da-da. And I'm doing my typical bend over backwards because this looks like it could really be helpful with astrology and with our network. So bottom line is, I felt really betrayed. For years, I felt betrayed. Two of them, exactly. And it wasn't until there was a moment where I've had several of these in my life, where this little light bulb goes off of my head that was like an ability to see all the things that I would have done and dug myself deeper and deeper into a terrible situation had I stayed, had that person not betrayed me or hurt my feelings in such a deep and profound way. And also, I found this other part of me that could emerge and be a better friend. And it started unraveling itself, and it took some time. It wasn't easy. I mean, I hated what I was going through. I hated myself. I couldn't snap out of it. Every conversation came down to my deep, profound resentment. Everything was about my deep, profound resentment. I know people that were in my inner circle were just sick of hearing it. I couldn't let it go. I was so upset. But here's the deal. The upsetness was my abandonment of me. It's exactly what happened whenever I was faced with a problem as a child, and my parents, all they did was hysteria. Mom particularly, right? It was just hysteria. There was no support, and Dad would just leave. And that's exactly when I had this insight of what I was doing to myself, that's exactly what changed it. The insight that I was just being hysterical. I was reacting horribly to what the person did to me in myself and to myself. And I was frozen and I was ruminating and I was obsessing. And there was no voice in the room. There was no voice in the room that came in and said, in my inside of me, because people on the outside were being very sympathetic. I get it. I hear you. But I'm here and I'm going to never leave you. I'm going to be on that door. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. All the things that those moments, those very crucial moments, because that was a very huge moment for me. I had two of those huge, I've had probably three, but two that I can remember off the top of my head of these huge moments where something had to shift or I would knew I was never going to change. Knew I was never going to snap out of it. And I didn't want to become the ball of sniveling resentment that I was. And I was so resentful. And it's hard when you're a fixed sign. I have like, what is it? Three planets in Scorpio. I'm seven planets in water. How do I slush this stuff out of me? Well, it was an act of will. It was an act of deciding this is just an ugly way to live. Just tired of it. And when I had this little moment where I realized what I was doing to myself, what like literally the kind of conditions I was making for me, and then realizing I was making those conditions for my pets, for my partner, like I remember the moment that just sort of shifted and I gave it up, like literally gave it up. It was powerful. But I needed to have the will behind it to make it happen. Mars in Cancer. The will behind it, to care for the inner child, to bring forth the magic necessary to nurture who we are and what we want to do, to give up this sort of righteousness, this phony righteousness. Like, I'll let you all figure out what that means for you, but there's a righteousness about like, I'm so right and you all are so wrong and I'm going to be, you know, die on this hill here with that. It's sort of like, what if all that got taken away and it was just about you and your kid, your inner kid? Just finding some peace, not having to start a war, not having to go to war, not having to be at war, not having to do anything angry, not having to shut people out, not having to shut them down, but just finally telling this inner part of you, and you, I can see this image of this kid hovering under a bed because you're on a rampage, and you're turning around and going, who am I terrorizing, really? Very, very potent. And I'll tell you what, with all these planets in Pisces, and Neptune's not going to be there next month. It's really kind of interesting. Neptune's leaving at the end of the month from being in Pisces, okay? New era of everything. Why not use this time period for your healing? Physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, mental healing. Why not use it every chance you can get? The South Node in Virgo is now saying, I'm not going to give you the solutions that worked before. The only thing that I'm going to give you is the opportunity to bring Pisces in here, to bring compassion home, for you to try to paint a different kind of picture. And I mean that in very literal terms and metaphorical terms, to paint a different picture. Using the watercolors that Pisces is giving us the opportunity to have. The sun's not going to be there forever. Saturn's not going to be there forever. Venus is going to be there again for a very short period of time. And then everything starts shifting into this fiery realm. Spirituality can come into play. But before you take a bath in the waters of spirituality, in the fires of spirituality, you got to bathe in the waters of these emotional signs to clean out some of the energy you've been holding. So let me make some suggestions. Whenever you get a chance to review something you're doing and you feel that sense of disgust, or you know, if it's a disgust for another person, disgust for yourself, any of that stuff, how about we take a minute and find the chuckle, the so what in it? Take a minute just to go, oh God. Like, I can see some of the things I've done. Some of the things I've done really emotionally, and which were really harsh and brash, and you go, you know what? That was me. That's who I was. I learned a lot from John, who never apologizes for anything. It's sort of like, and it's not an F you to anybody or even to me. But I notice in our 40 years almost of being together, there's never an apology for something that he thought was true that he later learned wasn't. And I'm not saying that's a noble thing. Like sometimes apologies are really nice, but my point is he has a solid steel place that he holds for himself. And it was the best thing I could ever, ever seen in my life is to watch somebody have that, to have something so, so impenetrable that I'm not going to feel bad for a choice I made. I've told the story a million times. But one time we were texting, and I have a terrible habit of just saying my feelings in a text. And I was really mad at somebody. And John was addressing that for the first time. He was like, I see what you see in them that's making you mad. They do that to everybody. But you're basically abandoning yourself when you're that angry. God bless having a partner that can talk me down. But he sent it to the wrong place. He sent it to the person I was talking about. You all have done that, right? Horrifying experience. For me, it's horrifying. You know what, for John? Nothing. He goes, well, it's the truth. I mean, it's what I was thinking at the time. And if you got word back on it, it's amazing to have that ability. I'm not kidding. It's amazing to have that ability to like tell the truth. That's me. Yeah. And if you hate that I think that about you or that I have that thought about this part of you, I'm sorry. No, but not really sorry, right? Sorry, not sorry. So something to think about during the cycle. We don't have a lot of time left in the Pisces time to bring compassion to the forefront, to bring understanding to the forefront, to stop this ridiculous nitpicking of not only other people out here and everything that's going on and all the little details, but this nitpicking in here. Really, really big deal. Okay? And that's the cycle that I really want to emphasize. Now, let's do a quick peruse of the future. This has been so much fun. This is what John gives me every week to help me with the Power Peak. Isn't that so sweet? Now, if you're not on the Power Peak, it's at markhusson.com. The password is Daylight Savings Time, DST, all lowercase. The dumbest thing we ever do. I will celebrate so much when this goes away because I don't want to lose an hour of sleep. I love this. I hate losing an hour of sleep. I don't care what y'all think. To me, it's sort of like, I mean, I care about your thoughts, honestly, but I don't care about the people who defend it by like, we have longer days. It's like, well, then adjust your damn time. Leave mine alone and go do something earlier. Talk to your boss about it. Okay, so I just have some feelings. All right, a little bit. Okay, now, so this is the week of Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, and that's how I want you to word it in your head. Aries is the first day of spring. Taurus is the second solidarity of spring. And Gemini creates the change for us in spring. Oh, Becky, God, you're going to make me cry. I can't read that out loud. I know I'm going to cry with you guys too. I cry so easy. It's like I get emotional because there's certain things that happen that I feel so touched by. And as a water guy, as a guy with a ton of water, you know, emotion is an excuse to not feel. So I have to be careful about that. Okay, let me keep going. We're in spring. Aries rules spring, Taurus, and Gemini. They all have to do with spring, right? Well, the moon is in Taurus, and then it goes into Gemini. So we're in the second half of spring over this week. By Friday and Saturday, we enter summer. Okay. Now, what's that mean energetically? Well, energetically, it means that we start aligning with this sense of a direction, of purpose. We get our strength. We're newborns in this week right now. As Friday comes, we're adolescent. And in the development stage of adolescence, it's where we really start feeling our power for the first time. Like not only do we feel it for the first time, because you can, as a baby, you start feeling your power walking and holding your poopy in and all that. But as an adolescent, you now start directing that power. That's what happens this weekend. Okay. So let's review the dates and then we're going to sign off. I'll read the comments too, but the dates. So February 7th was our first moment, okay, when it hit, when Venus went into 2 degrees. If you can go back and identify February 7th, it would be so cool. I'm going to try to do it too. March 22nd is the conjunction, the actual conjunction of Venus and the sun. That's the actual moment where the Venus is the closest to the earth. It conjuncts the sun. It's right next to it. What a powerful day for you to do whatever you want to do. Okay, like for you, there's a lot of people I know celebrate their birthday on the 22nd. And that is also, isn't that also like we have already entered spring, like the 19th, I think we get into spring. We'll talk about that next week. But anyway, on the 22nd of March, good day to get something done that you want to get done. Like some people are like, we have to wait for the retrograde to be over. That is so foolish. Don't do that. Don't let these retrogrades be defined by the direction a planet's moving. Let them be defined by the degree that a planet is. 2 degrees. Okay, that's March 22nd. Get a job. Get a raise. Heal a situation with a friend. Go on a vacation. Start a new business. Do something extraordinary on that day, if you can, and the day before, the day after. Okay, any of those, it's fine. And guess what? If you miss the opportunity, there's no such thing as a missed opportunity, I promise you. Don't be putting that kind of pressure on yourself. It's ridiculous. And it gives astrology way too much power. Okay, don't do the power. Don't give your power up just because somebody's saying a date and you missed it. It's like, so what? Like, there's not other moments in time. You can defy all this. Astrology is just a metaphor. Defy it all and do your life in the most powerful way you know how to do it. Okay, I had to do that special effect so I could see that star change around. There I am. Hey, you guys, I will check out the comments. Let me do that really quick, see how you're doing. I have to lean in because I haven't figured out how to do this right. Becky, thank you so much. I so appreciate you appreciating it. I wish you still did one-on-one appointments. No, you don't. No, you don't. This is really the format for me. But our one-on-one people at One Two Listen, they're extraordinary. Mwah! Thank you for that compliment. Okay, you guys, here's the thing. Let me know if you have any issues. Stay tuned, please, today for the extraordinary radio. We have Isabel Marr. I did put the link of who she is. She's an extraordinarily gentle, kind, loving being that Catherine Nasdaq is bringing on as a special moment on 1-2 Radio. The extraordinary Kathleen Hall, Kathleen Nicholson now. I acknowledge her marriage. Name change. Psychic Cat is going to be on after us, taking readings, taking calls, and soon she'll be doing what I'm doing here. I know she is. And Lori Love, the same, the Love Sherpa, she's on after Cat. We have Serena, and she is going to be doing, she's also the producer of the shows. So Serena's like an extraordinary woman. I am sort of blown away by who she is. Thank you for everything you do, Serena, just openly. And then after that, Catherine Nasdaq. And if those dates are wrong or something, I think it goes in that order. But if for any reason it doesn't, it's at noon Pacific. I know Catherine Nasdaq is going to have her guest on. Okay, you guys. Hey, listen, Mark Husson here, signing out. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Thanks for putting up with the clumsiness that is not going to ever go away because I'm a Mars in Pisces. But I hope this helped, and I hope we have more to do and to report next week, okay? With all my heart, with all my love, thank you for all you do.